It was 1915 when the first Williamsport Symphony Orchestra began, 59 musicians under the baton of E. Hart Bugby, a music teacher and violinist with a studio in Market Street, Williamsport. In 1933, it became the Rural Works Development Orchestra. In 1940, it re-emerged as the Williamsport Civic Orchestra. But World War II put a hold on the orchestra. Until 1947, it was revived, by popular demand, under the direction of local music legend Osborne Housel. In 1948 and 1949, the orchestra gave capacity performances at the Capitol Theatre, now the Community Arts Centre, of its holiday concert, performing Handel's Messiah with 250 vocalists. And in the summer of 1951, the orchestra presented the first free Pops in the Park concert at the Brandon Park Bandshell. But sadly, Osborne Housel died in 1957 and the orchestra ceased operations. The current Williamsport Symphony Orchestra was started from scratch in 1966 with Lewisburg violinist Dorothy Barnwell and semi-professional oboist Dr. William Baronson. They solicited musicians from four counties to launch the Susquehanna Valley Symphony Orchestra. Functioning under a volunteer management, the orchestra braved numerous crises to keep alive. Music industry professionals began to take an interest in the Susquehanna Valley Symphony Orchestra until 1984, when the SVSO hired Rolf Smedvig as music director. Smedvig had been the principal trumpet of the Boston Symphony Orchestra and founded the Grammy-winning Empire Brass Quintet. In 1984, the Susquehanna Valley Symphony Orchestra changed its name to the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra. In 1992, Rolf Smedvig passed the baton to Robin Fountain. Under Fountain's leadership, the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra expanded its reach to become a fully-fledged semi-professional orchestra. The uniquely talented Robin Fountain rose to the task of making the WSO a standout orchestra in a small city. Thomas Golka was the conductor of the WSO from 2007 to 2010, when he passed the baton to Maestro Gerardo Edelstein, during what was the 44th season for the WSO. Since 2001, the WSO has given its first television broadcast, resumed its summer concert series, Pops in the Park, created the Billtown Brass, and moved its headquarters to the magnificent Community Arts Centre, as well as receiving nationwide recognition from the National Endowment for the Arts and the League of American Orchestras. The 2016-2017 season has marked the 50th anniversary for the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra, and the last concert of this celebratory season will take place at the Community Arts Centre in Williamsport on Tuesday, May the 16th. Maestro Gerardo Edelstein came to the WVIA Williamsport studio recently to talk about this last concert of the 50th season.
Believe it or not, the last concert of the season, our 50th anniversary celebration, but I hope it will not stop right here. So we'll start anew, hopefully for the next 50 years. I don't know if I will be here celebrating the next 50, but, you know, I hope that we continue celebrating for many, many years to come this wonderful orchestra, this wonderful community, and we have a very special concert to end the season. My 7 years as music director, I decided that, you know, the final concert should be a big concert, so celebrating the whole year of music making, and always showcase a big piece or big soloist. That's not exception this time, because we will have a fantastic soloist, and also we'll showcase a piece by Christopher Theofanidis. It's a commission piece by the symphony that is going to be premiered on Tuesday night. The grand finale with Daphnis and Chloe, Suite No. 2 by Maurice Ravel.
Maurice Ravel, and what an amazing piece based on Greek myth.
Exactly. And, you know, I know that I remember, you know, talking to you and sometimes you asking me, what is your favorite composer and what is the composer that you have more affinity with? And I always say that my favorite composer is the one that I'm actually performing at that particular moment, because I always fall in love with the pieces I'm conducting. But, you know, as I mentioned to you with Mahler in February, you know, I have a special affinity with Ravel. His music is so exotic, so coloristic, so wonderfully written. I believe that Ravel, it's one of the greatest orchestrators in the history of music. He knows how to combine all these instruments and use the colors of the orchestra to the maximum. Just to give an example, he uses 8 percussionists for this piece, and in addition to the timpani that is always a given in his music. So then you can imagine the color that the different percussion instruments will add to the orchestra. The piece is about 1 hour long. It's the longest of the orchestral pieces written by Ravel. And it was actually a ballet in its origin. It was commissioned by Sergei Diaghilev with the Ballet Russe and premiered in the year 1912. So that was 1 year before Rite of Spring. And why I mention this, because the audience may well know, or the listeners, they may well know that Rite of Spring created a riot, a big riot when it was premiered. But mostly it was because of the story, the sets, the dancing, not particularly because of the music, that yes, it was advanced, but I think what the audiences back then didn't like was what they were seeing on stage. And it was kind of a revolutionary ballet with many unusual things. They were so used to Tchaikovsky, Nutcracker, Swan Lake, and this was totally a different story. With the ballets before that, you know, starting with Firebird, also by Stravinsky, Afternoon of a Faun by Debussy, and Ravel, Daphnis and Chloe, they also tried to introduce some new ideas, new stories that could be a little bit controversial. And in this case, it's not an exception in terms of the story, you know, the Greek myth of Daphnis and Chloe raised together, and finally they fall in love, and Chloe is kidnapped by pirates and released by the gods, eventually comes back and embraces Daphnis, and they recreate in their dreams the story of another romance between the god Pan and the goddess Syrinx. So another love story. And basically Pan, who saves Chloe, it is said that he saves in the memory of Syrinx. This piece, it's absolutely incredible in many ways. As you listen to it, you basically can see the characters interacting. You know, the dreams by Daphnis, their embrace with Chloe, the final bacchanal that you can open your imagination to whatever you want. There was not only wine in those celebrations. The music gets to just an incredible crescendo as it starts to a very, very rousing finale.
How appropriate for May, which has always been traditionally the month of the bacchanal and the celebration as spring is burgeoning into summer.
It's absolutely perfect for the occasion. Unfortunately, we're having a quite cold spring, and I hope that after this piece, things will start warming up. That is actually, it's the perfect way to finish the season. You know, I'd like to mention that it has been also very interesting to work on the new piece that we are premiering by Christopher Theofanidis. Audiences may not know the whole story, but when you commission a piece, of course, first of all, you have to find a composer who will be willing to write. And of course, I have some people that I know, but I wanted somebody who is already, you know, out there, one of the, you know, upcoming young American composers that has been very successful. Christopher's probably most popular piece is one for orchestra, also that it's called The Rainbow Body. And this piece has been performed by many orchestras in this country and abroad. He recently was commissioned an opera by the San Francisco Opera, so he was working on that. And actually, we were very lucky as I contacted him that he agreed to write a piece for us. What is very interesting is that we don't know until I get the music what is going to come out of the request. Of course, he asked what the theme will be, and you know, and I want to give him absolutely freedom. And said, well, it needs to be celebratory because it's our 50th anniversary. You don't necessarily have to write a fanfare. That, you know, that's what the first comes to your mind, you know, fanfare for the 50th anniversary of the WSO. And I think that he understood that and actually came up with a very light, lovely piece. And he said that he was inspired by Handel's Water Music. As we know, you know, Handel wrote a lot of music that was actually music to celebrate, you know, the kings, the queen, just for special occasions. So then this piece, he decided to, it's about 15 minutes long, to divide it in six short movements, very contrasting, where you will hear sometimes the strings showcase, sometimes the wind, sometimes the brass. Certain sections are very upbeat with lots of percussion as well. Some are more contemplative, relaxing, and melodic, but a lot of color. We talked before about Ravel's color, even though Chris probably is not aware of this, but I'm sure he's also influenced by the orchestrations by Ravel.
Of course, when we think of Handel's Water Music, he wrote that for performance on the Thames, which is a gorgeous river, and we have this beautiful river, the Susquehanna. So how appropriate that it's a piece that was inspired.
Yeah, fantastic, Fiona. I think that that's a great way to, you know, just to compare. I remember reading that he actually played the music on a boat while the court, the king and the queen were, you know, traveling or passing by, you know, from a barge. He will, you know, be with his musicians playing this. We will be at the CAC, Don. I'll be on a boat. To complete the program, there are two more pieces. One by Franz Joseph Haydn, his Symphony No. 6, only the first movement. This is a piece that I love. It's a very early symphony by Haydn. He composed it just right when he started working at the Esterházys in the year 1761. He was one of the lucky ones who had the chance to work for royalty. You know, he was employed by the Esterházys and spent quite a long time just composing, you know, writing music, performing, and enjoying a really, really good life. Because if we compare that to Mozart, the poor Mozart that never could get a real job and was traveling from place to place and died actually very poor, was the opposite for Papa Haydn, that many people also call him. So why are we playing this piece? This piece was the first piece that the symphony ever played 50 years ago. So it was a great idea that it was brought up to me, and I said, well, let's dig into the programs back then and see what the symphony was able to play. We found the first program, and this symphony is showcased. It's a great piece. Haydn was able to have at the palace incredible musicians because he could hire, he had the money. So he would often hire the best musicians in the area and showcase them in his music. So in this piece, we have the flute, we have the violin, the cello, and it's called also Le Matin, Morning. It's a series of three symphonies that he wrote. And why they call it this? Because at the very beginning, we hear, you know, it starts very softly, very quietly. It's like, you know, the sunrise. And before the Allegro comes, we can hear everybody waking up and watching this beautiful day that is coming.
Well, I was going to ask you why you chose to do one movement, but of course, if you did the whole symphony, we'd be there all evening, wouldn't we?
Exactly.
But it must be very tricky, though, to do a single movement from a symphony. I know it is when I program it. I do it very rarely. And which movement do you choose? So why did you choose the first movement?
You are absolutely right. I normally don't like to program pieces or movements from pieces because you need to hear the whole idea. But because the theme of the sunrise, Le Matin, appears right at the beginning of the symphony, that's why I was drawn to perform that movement, that it's in a very upbeat. I think it sets the tone for the entire program. You know, here we are, this is the first piece we ever played. You know, here's the sunshine, beautiful day. You know, from here, we move to Beethoven, that had great admiration for Haydn. He also took some lessons from Haydn. This is the last piano concerto that Beethoven wrote, Piano Concerto No. 5, called sometimes the Emperor. I say sometimes because it's not Beethoven's that he puts the names, like, you know, the Pastoral and many other names, the Pathétique. You know, publishers like to do that to sell those things easily and make some money out of it. Of course, it's Beethoven's last. We can hear the mature Beethoven. It's longer than the other four concerti. It's about 40 minutes long. Very difficult technically. Unlike the first three, he starts immediately with the piano. So there is a chord in the orchestra and the piano already brings, you know, some arpeggios, three of those until the first theme is introduced. He did something similar though in the concerto number four, but in that one he actually starts with the piano solo. The first movement is the longest one. It's almost 20 minutes long, you know, with beautiful cadence, beautiful melodies, harmonies like we are used to in Beethoven. Believe it or not, I love the most the second movement. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous, quiet and very inspired, melodic, romantic movement that I imagine that inspired also all the romantic composers who came after him. And of course, it ends with a rondo, almost like a, you know, dancing movement, preparing us for the Daphnis and Chloe later. So we see some relationship in all these pieces. And we are very fortunate to have Christopher Guzman as our soloist. Let me tell you a story. This is amazing how small the musical world is. I know Chris Guzman since I came to this country pretty much like 25 years ago. He played cello in the Youth Orchestra of San Antonio that I conducted for 3 years. A fabulous cellist. He auditioned for the concerto competition to play with the youth orchestra in San Antonio as a pianist, and he won. So I collaborated with him for the first time that long ago. I remember we played the Prokofiev Concerto No. 3, the first movement. It was a huge success, it was fantastic. And then I moved on, he moved on, just went to work with the Richmond Symphony and came to Penn State. He went to Juilliard. He was so talented. Went to Juilliard to finish his studies. And also after that to UT Austin. And started career, you know, just all over the world. Very recently won a competition in France for contemporary music. He travels constantly. So 5 years ago, there was an opening at Penn State for one of the piano professors retired. And one day I get a call on the phone and I say, hello, this is Christopher Guzman. Do you remember me? Chris, I said, thinking, yeah, of course, the cellist in the orchestra in San Antonio. I said, well, from cello, I went to piano and, you know, started telling me all his story. And he said, I heard about the opening at Penn State and I saw your name as faculty member. So can you tell me a little more about it, the position? So then he was hired a year after, and we are very lucky to have him in the faculty at Penn State, and also very lucky to have him here soloing for the Beethoven Piano Concerto No. 5. It's a fabulous pianist, wonderful collaborator. I mean, I love to collaborate with soloists that have that kind of approach, you know, asking questions and exchanging musical ideas. And that's what actually he does, and he performs beautifully. And I'm sure the audiences will be thrilled to hear him this concert. As I always say, just to our audience, come in big numbers, invite your friends, your family, you know, everyone that you see to come and enjoy the Williamsburg Symphony Orchestra last concert of the season. You will not be disappointed. It's going to be a treat. And, you know, as I always say, very proud of what we have accomplished this year with all the music making, and love to share with our community the great things that are happening at the symphony.
Maestro Gerardo Edelstein talking about this last concert of the 50th season for the WSO. This concert will take place at the Community Arts Centre in Williamsport on Tuesday, May the 16th. It will feature the music of Ravel, Haydn, Beethoven with the guest soloist Christopher Guzman, winner of many international and national competitions, and the premiere of a work by world-renowned American composer Christopher Theophanidis. The concert begins at 7:30 at the Community Arts Centre on West 4th Street in Williamsport. For tickets, you may call the Community Arts Centre box office at 570-326-2424. And for details, the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra website is williamsportsymphony.org. Congratulations, and many thanks to Gerardo Edelstein and the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra.
Thanks to you, WVIA's Fiona Powell, and yes, congratulations to the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra.